Hashem. Okay. Last week we started about, I hope you all have handouts. There's a handout on the shiur. We gave an introduction, and we explained that davening with kavona is making a perfect shidduch between the mind, and when we say the mind, we mean the heart, the soul, the metaphysical, the ideas, the machshavas, with the mouth. Mind and mouth. What the mind says, thinks the heart says. You think what you say what you think. It's not as easy as it sounds. It's a wonderful shidduch, if you can do it. Putting together those two. In anatomy, they're close together. But sometimes the mind is way, way away from where what the words, what one's saying. And that's the tremendous challenge. That's the idea of a definition. We said that the shear is really, we're working with percentages, meaning it's not like buying a piece of kosher meat. It's not like putting up a mezuzah, where you can do the mitzvah, kamuvan, if you have a good mezuzah, a good sofer, it's 100% kosher, you did the mitzvah. Zelokacha. With kavona, we're working with percentages, and hopefully you're trying to improve the average. Certain times you daven very well, yomim noiroim. When you're awake, when you're alert, the idea is to lift up the averages. We explained all this last week. We then said you have to have a gateway. You have to go in the right door. If you go in the wrong door, davening becomes a bore, becomes a nuisance. You get tired of davening. And that is because you went in the wrong door. You have to begin, it's a conversation of pure ahava, of love. You're talking to Borei Olam, and you rotze ledaber, you want to express yourself to the Creator. You're talking to the Almighty. You have to go through that door. And that's the petach, not pachad, not because you have to follow convention, because everybody else davened. It has to be ahava. That's the door in which you're going through. We explained Rav Pinkus' point that many people have emuna. The difference with Klal Yisrael, the atem had veikim b'Hashem, closeness, a connection. Kasher Rebbe Akiva Eger. How can you force an emotion? It's a will. You can't force a person. Elamai k'mayim ponim el ponim. We explained all this last time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael, and therefore we reciprocate. It's much easier. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman gave another teretz. We explained that last week. We then went on to say that the real way you understand the gateway is Reb Chaim Volozhin's words in Nefesh HaChaim. When you face Yerushalayim, you're not facing Yerushalayim, you're facing the Mikdash, more. The focus is more. The focus is Har HaBayis, Har HaBayis, Kodesh Kodoshim. You're facing the Kruvim. That's the Tzimtzum of the Shechina. Ani ledoidi v'doidi li. We know they miraculously moved. So the real focus is I'm turning and he turns to meet me. And that is the way the Ahava builds up. As I talk to him, he responds to me. Hashem Tzilcha. This week's Parsha in Shmois, the whole essence, the first Gilui Shechina to Moshe Rabbeinu, was he asked him, what's your name? And Hashem said, Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. I will be what I will be. I will mean what you make of me. As you are, so I am. And that's the Kruvim. They moved. As we move towards him, he moves towards us. And that's the gateway of Ahava. Because we talk unto him, he relates back to us. We explained all this last week, and I'm just setting it up again. And we explained that there are special times. Shabbos has more Ahava. Vatiten lon Hashem Elokeinu bi'Ahava. Times of Yom Tov, times of Shabbos, closer times, Tefillin, You wrap the round. In other words, we are connecting ourselves. And on that, the basis of tefillah, the conversation works. We then went on to explain, I'm not sure, did we go any further last week or not? Not sure if we went further. We went into the Ramchal. We explained the Ramchal that it's all in Choshech. We live in Choshech and we have given times. Tefillah is times of awe when we can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We explained the basis of Kavana, the Chazon Ish's point. Every mitzvah has a maisa. When you wash your hands, you take the keli and you pour it over the hands. Lighting the nevos is an action, the action of the lulav. What's the action of tefillah? It's not saying the words. Says the Chazon Ish in a letter, it's called a mitzvah iyunis. Iyunis means it needs concentration. So, did you do the mitzvah? We explained last week, machlokes Chazon Ish, Chazon Mepchaim, in Chidushei on the Rambam. According to the Rambam, according to the Mepchaim, it's not a mitzvah. According to the Chazon Ish, it's a mitzvah kalusha. It's a weak mitzvah. You need to have kavana. We talked about ratios. We discussed this last week. But I think the last thing we discussed was about the moshul with the trees. Did we do this last week? Meaning, a moshul just to help you out with the whole idea of the mind and the thought and the heart. If a tree is blowing in a gale and a person walks past and says, my goodness, what strong leaves they are. That's not the point. It's not that the leaves are strong, it's because the roots are strong. When a person shockles and davens and cringes at the word or shouts out the tefillah, it's not because you are davening words, it's because the heart, the soul, the whole shoyresh of the tefillah is coming from somewhere. And that's the difference, of course, between a politician, an actor, and a baal tefillah. A politician and an actor, the words start with the mind, and they're very eloquent. So that's really what it is. It's a short passageway from the mind to the mouth, and they say it in the way which sounds convincing and persuasive. That's a politician, and that's an actor. About tefillah, the words have a much deeper source. It's coming from the heart. You mean the words you're saying. So it's a far, far deeper source than an actor or a politician. It has much deeper roots. That's as far as I think we went. This, yes? I think we did all this last week, just to recap. Now, let's start. And I put here four gradual stages of Kavana, and you'll see what I mean. Because I think there are stages in which to introduce the whole topic of Kavana. Firstly, there's something called the mood in the mind. You'll see in a second what we mean. There's a mood. There's a mood which you need for davening. Then there's something called the tool of focus. And that's the tool. The tool is focus. The mechanics of Kavana is focus. Number three, you need to know halachas. And I've only selected several, but they're all in Shulchan Aruch. And I hope to get to that today. And then afterwards, on the next page, which you don't have, I think, in front of you, there's another page which goes into suggestions and advice when the going gets tough. Those are ideas. But let's start with the first stage of Kavana. And that is the mood in the mind. When a child talks, he has no idea really who he's talking to. He'll talk to his friend, to his mum, to a teacher, to a rov, in all the same way. He doesn't really understand who he's talking to. But someone who's more mature realizes you can't talk to a rov in the way that you talk to Uncle Charlie. You can't, because it's the Rav. And you have levels of reverence or levels of preference of how you talk to this person and that person, a friend, a neighbor, a cousin, a distinguished person. You have levels of understanding. The first concept of davening with Kavana is, as they say on most shuls, Da lifnei miata oimed. Do you know who you're talking to? You have to know, I'm talking to my Creator. I'm talking to the Borei Olam. And that is the first mood in the mind. That's why the Mishnah brings down in Brochus, Chasidim HaRishonim, Hayu Shoyim Shoah Achas Lifnei HaTfilah. They used to wait before they davened. Because you can't possibly just go from a phone call into a Moedani Lefonech. It can't be done. Because you have to adjust time in and time out to know who are you talking to. Who are you addressing? That's the first level of kavana. To whom are you talking? That's the unbelievable maisa. I don't know if we brought it down, but it's worth repeating it, of Reb Chaim Greinemann with the Chazon Ish. I'm not sure if we brought it, but we'll say it again. We brought it last time. Chazon Ish was once sitting with his nephew, Reb Chaim Greinemann, and he was quiet. And he waited until the Chazon Ish spoke, and then the Chazon Ish mentioned, how can it be that I can talk to him? How can it be? What does it mean I'm talking to him? It's not Shaykh. Me, Yatush, Natush, nothing of me, nothing. How can I talk to Bayre Ayla? And then he was quiet, and a few minutes later he said, and he hears me. But how can he hear me? He has so much other things to do. How can it be that he's listening to me? And then he was quiet and went on again later and said, and he'll do what is best for me in the circumstances, answer or not answer, according to what he thinks is best. Manoira ha'avoida shel tefillah. Simple, but beautiful in its simplicity, because it explains exactly what it is. How can it be that we can talk to him? And that's the mood in the mind. We can. That's thankful to all the avos who made the line, the cable. Shachris is Avraham, Minchas Yitzchak, they made the cable, and the cable exists. At 8 o'clock in the morning, there's a cable, you get through. In the afternoon, there's a cable. Goyim don't have those cables. Only we have a cable. That's what it means by the Schus Ovais. They created for us times of an appointment. By them, it's pure luck. If they get through, they don't get through, it's mazel. But by us, we have an appointed time when we can talk to him. And that's all behind, I think I mentioned these points previously, that's the theme of who do you think you're talking to? The mood. You need a mood for that. That's why, of course, we'll come on to later, all the halachas of how you have to stand. You can't stand in a place which has a smell, which is dirty, you have to be clean, all these aspects which will come out later. But that's the first concept, who you're talking to. Secondly, the altar. In the beginning of his Ma'amorim, in Chochma Umusa, in the first three or four, the altar talks about the koyach of tefillah, and he explains that the basis of all tefillah is to make a connection, to mityaches. He is, and that's all it is, from beginning to end, a yachas, a relationship. He is the boire, and I am the nivra. So I'm going to say, Adon Olam Asher Molach. He is the Yotzer, and I am the Noitzer. So therefore I'm going to say, Asher Yotzer Es Ha'odon B'chochma. He is the Mechalkel Chaim B'chesed. And I am the one who needs the food. So I'm going to say, Hazon Es Olam. It's all Yachas. He is the one who is Choynein Das. So I say, Ato Choynein Odom Das. He is the one who is Shomea, Ki Ato Shomea. It's always Yachas. He is the one who provides the clothing. So I'm going to say Malbish Arumim. That yachas goes backwards and forwards. That's all it is, all the time. Just the yachas, yachas. He is the one to be praised. And therefore I'm going to say Koil HaNeshama, Da'al Elko. Always the yachas. It's always, that's whether it's Tchina, whether it's Tshuva, whether it's Halel, whether it's Haidor, whether it's Shevach. In all cases, it's always verifying this yachas and explaining the yachas. Because of it, therefore, there'll be a response because of that. But I must get the right yachas in the right way. I must get the right yachas. How important is it? How significant is it? If you say Nachem on Tisha B'Av in the theme of Shoshanas Yaakov, your way out. Shoshanas Yaakov Tzohala V'Sameicha Nachem Hashem. One second. This is Shevach and thank you, Shoshanas Yaakov. Nachem has its own mood. The Yachas is different. That Yachas needs, when you sing Hallel on Yom Tov, that's not the Yachas of Al Chet Shechotonu Lefanecha. The Yachas must be correct. You must be accurate in your Yachas. When you're saying on Yomim Noiroim, you're saying Hamelech, and you're calling out, it's not the same as the Yachas as Moaz to Yeshua Si. That Yachas is inside the mood. That mood, it's a mood of thanks, it's a mood of request, and that goes into the mood when you're saying it. And therefore, this mood carries, it pervades the whole of the tefillah. When you're saying Birchas HaShachar, from beginning till end, Shelo Asani Goy, Shelo Asani Oved, Zoykev Gufufim, from beginning till end, it's a mood of Haidor. Birchas Haidor. From beginning till end, they're all Haidor. Thank you for my clothing. Thank you for my... Every step I take, Amechi Mitzadei Gover. That's the mood. The mood in the mind, taking this Yachas further, is a mood of Haidor. When you're saying a bracha over thunder, over lightning, over the trees, at Pesach time, it's all praising Him. The mood is one of praise, acknowledgement, praise. Psuki de Zimra in the morning is all praise. And that mood will carry the kavona, because that's the beginning, that's the introduction, because you understand the type of conversation I'm having. Conversation is now a conversation of praise, if it's that. Birchas Shmoneh Esrei, in the middle, all the brachas in the middle are all bakasha. Please, Refa'enu. Please, Hashiveinu. Please, Ve'eva Onyenu. It's all bakasha. I'm saying the obvious things, but without this, the mood in the mind is going to carry the conversation. It's like Lo Aleinu Chas V'Shalom, the person goes to a shiva. Immediately, the sensitivity is, I must say words of Nechoma. When you're going to a chasna, the conversation is one, a conversation of pure simcha, to say something that the chasan or the kala would love to hear. That's the mood. And that mood carries it, the whole... Once you get into the right frame of mind, already the kavanah is round the corner. Because that's the next stage. You understand already what you're saying. The mood of... Yomim of the 3 weeks. It's all Aveilus, Siluk Hashchina. He left town. He deserted us. We are like a woman, Enisha, Almona, Azuva. That's the mood of the 3 weeks. And therefore it's the mood of Aveilus. Not depression, but mourning. Mourning the separation. Praying for reconciliation. That's the 3 weeks. Once we start Aleph Tishri, then the mood is a mood of Malchus Shamayim. He's the Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloch. All these are the, who do you think you're talking to? The Yachas, and the Yachas is the mood. And that is the whole, the first stage. After we've gone through the shower of Ava, of wanting to talk to him, now the mood in the mind will carry the Kavanah. You'll see further. Secondly, the second stage. The first stage is the mood. Who am I talking to and what's the type of conversation? Secondly, is the tool of focus. And that means, like the Chazon Ish had mentioned, it's a mitzvah of iyun. It needs concentration. This week's parsha is really the source of what we're looking for in Parshas Vayechi. We learn that Yaakov said to Yosef, I'm going to give you Shechem. And Shechem I acquired, says the Pasuk, b'charbi u'b'kashdi, with my sword and with my bow. The Targum explains those words, the Tzolausi Ubausi, with my prayer and with my request. That's not a translation. The translation of Bechavi or Bekashti is my sword and my bow. So why does the Targum translate it in the words of Tzolausi Bausi, my prayer and my Bakosha? The answer is, Rav Pinkas writes about it in Sha'arim B'Tefillah. The Tefillah needs to have accuracy. It needs to be focused. And when we say we referred, never did Yaakov go to war to acquire Shechem. There was no battle involved. But he davened. Had sileni no miad ochi miad esav. He davened. And his Tefillah was accurate. It was bullseye. It was focused. He was on target. He was on the mark. If you know how to use the sword, You don't have to spend long getting your target on hand. Do you remember the Maisa when Avner was being pursued by Asahel in the Novi, and he was right behind him? So Avner took his spear and jagged it back and got him, they say, under the fifth rib. It was all over. One schmeiß and it was finished. He pulled it back and he was finished. The Gemara brings down in Sanhedrin that when Cain wanted to kill Hevel, he stabbed him hundreds of times. He didn't know where the neshama came out from. He didn't know how to use the sword. If you know how to use it, once you're focused, that's what tefillah needs. Tefillah needs, tzla'usi ba'usi needs a sword and a bow which is accurate. If that's clear, we can move on to the next point. There's an enormous mistake which is made when it comes to davening, and that is the length of the tefillah. Because once you appreciate the point of focus, length is secondary. Focus is primary. Once that becomes a point, then it's clear that length, it doesn't matter how long you daven for. If you need extra time, gesunte heit, daven as long as you want. But it's not le'ikuva, it's not primary. There's a beautiful maisa told in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Beis of Rabbi Elezer HaGadol, who davened with his yeshiva. And one day, a bocher went down to be the chazan. And he was like a snail. He was as slow as can be. He dragged it out, and all the yeshiva, the bochrim, came and complained. They say, Rebbe, we can't possibly have this man as a chazan. He's too slow. It's impossible. And believe it or not, the Gemara brings down that Rabbi Elezer turned around to them and said to them, really? Did the davening take arboim yoim v'arboim loila? Did it take 40 days and 40 nights? So they said, no. Said Rabbi Elezer, so what are you complaining about? No, didn't take 40 days and 40 nights. Then the Gemara says, shuv maisa. Another maisa. Another bocher went down to be a chazan. Next line in the Gemara. And he was supersonic. He was mamash, like a flash. So they all came and said, Rebbe, we can't have this man as a chazan. It's impossible. He's so fast. To which Rabbi Elezer replied, in the Gemara it says, you mean, did it take as long as it takes to say, kale, no, before, no, lo? Is that how long it took? Did it take that long? So they said, no, Rebbe, he wasn't as fast as that. Rebbe said, no, so what are you complaining about? Beautiful mice. Once, Moshe Rabbeinu, for Chet HaEgel, davened for 40 days and 40 nights. That's how long it took. When Miriam was sick with Tzoras, it took 5 words. Kael no, refor no lo. From there we learn a klal. Length is not primary. Focus is primary. And that is the key, perhaps one of the keys of focus. If you want to take time, take as long as you want, so long as you're not spacing out, so long as you're not going somewhere else in your thoughts. I can say this, I mean, it's all mitam chinucha, but yadua, I davened, I was for years in Gateset, yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva, Rab Leib, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was one of the first to finish. Shibadol l'chaim tovim arukim, Rab Eliashiv, the one I davened with his minyan many times, one of the first to finish. Well, she's finished. Reb Shlomo Zalman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, took a long time. A long time. I davened in yeshiva with Moshe Shmuel Shapira in Be'er Yaakov, and that was one of the first to finish. Mazeh, what does it mean? It means it's not the ikar. If you're there by these giants who were so, Reb Shlomo Zalman had his own avoda. He took his time. He was, but that's not the essence. The essence is not the time. So long as you get there, you'll get there. You're there. So if you're there, I once saw a letter that an avoda had written to Rav Shach. And he asked Rav Shach if my wife is really chayav to daven mincha, because she really doesn't have time. And Rav Shach replied back that, I don't really understand, he said, why she hasn't got time. You come back in the middle of the day. If you come back in the middle of the day, ben astorim, so take 4 or 5 minutes off and let your wife go and daven. 4 or 5 minutes. Not more. For milcha. Well, what's the pshat? It doesn't need a long time. It needs focus. I can say this for myself. I know myself. I sometimes daven ma'ariv very late at night. I can't get to the ma'ariv until late at night. I know when it's a late ma'ariv, I have to go fast. I can't daven slow. I'm so tired. I need the pace. I need the move. I need the lachatz of pressure, of time. It helps me. If I go too slow, I'm too tired. So therefore, you have to work with yourself. Sometimes you take your time. Yomim lo roim. Most people take time because it's a long fine, but only if it works. But it's not a prerequisite. Length is totally, it's completely in your hands. When I wrote down here, ask the reasonable man, I mean whatever is reasonable for you. Longer or shorter. Maybe it's not a good way of putting it, a reasonable man, but it's a totally, completely arbitrary decision how long it takes you. And it might well help. It might be a tremendous example, tremendous change in your davening if you just go a bit faster. If it's too fast, you can't translate. It becomes chaplat. If it's too slow, you might space. But you have to work it out. The pace is a tool of focus. After the mood in the mind, now, how am I going to have this conversation? And I want to make it meaningful. But it doesn't have to be long. It's for a woman, sometimes she doesn't have the time. So go slow. You're not mechuyev to take time over it. Again, primary is the focus, secondary is length. And you use length according to what's for you, what's good for you. Just to give an example, such a beautiful maaser, the father of Shlomo Zalman, the Chaim Leib Auerbach, once asked a wonderful kasha. On Kol Nidre, when we daven Ma'ariv on Yom Kippur, after Kol Nidre, so when we come to Shema, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusa is said out aloud. Why? Because we're like Malochim. Malochim, when you say Shema, they say Baruch Shem aloud. And yet, after Yom Kippur, when we finish Ne'ila, we then daven Ma'ariv, and Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusa is said quietly. He asked, it should be the other way around. Why? Because when you come into shul on Yom Kippur, on Kol Nidre, most members of the human race have eaten too much before Yom Kippur. And you're bloated. And you feel, I drank too much, and I ate too much. And you feel like, you don't feel like a malach. You feel like you ate too much before you come to shul. After Yom Kippur, you spent the whole day in Avodah, Slicha, Umechila, Vachapora. Then is the time when you should really be saying Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusa aloud. Because now, the whole day has been spent like that. Answered Reb Chaim Leib. It's not the size of the tummy. It's where the head is, the mind. Most people, when it comes to Yom Kippur, even though they ate too much, their mind has one direction. That is, Slicha, Mechila, V'chapora. Most people, when it comes to Ma'ariv, of after Ne'ila, it's coffee and cake in the mind. When am I getting a cup of tea? The mind is gone. So in reality, you're right, after a whole day spent, but the mind is the focus. The focus is where's your thoughts, and the thoughts are usually lost by the time it comes to Ma'ariv. It all needs working with. These are some of the points which I hope will help you in order. The first is the mood in the mind, and the second is working. It's working with a tool of focus. The focus is primary, and that's the meaning of when Usi Ba'usi, when the Targum says Bechavi Ubekashli, it means that accuracy of knowing how to use the sword, knowing how to really penetrate and hit the spot. And you don't need time for that. You don't need, if you want time, take time. But only if time is good for you, and it could be a hindrance and not a help. And however long it takes you, it's a tool of focus. What I'd like to do, is the third point, is to go into points of halakha. And this in itself is by, for many, a chiddush. Because people think that kavana is like an option in midas chasidus. It's a wonderful thing, and therefore, if yes, yes, if no, no, There are halachas in Shulchan Aruch, just like one is so careful of halachas of a bracha, halachas of kashrus, halachas of mezuzah, all the halachas. There are halachas of kavona. And I've chosen and selected several to go through them and to show you in Shulchan Aruch, in Mishnah Berurah, how we work with these halachas as we go along. But first, the main siman in Shulchan Aruch of kavona is siman tzadik ches. You need kav kavona. First line in the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch says, Hamispalim. Tzorich shiyichavein beliba peirush hamilois shemoitzi bisfosov. You have to have kavona for what you're saying, and then four words are in halacha, and they're not easy. Ve'yachshoyv ki'ilu shchina kenegdoi. The conversation is that I'm talking ki'ilu shchina kenegdoi, halacha in Shulchan Aruch, as if the shchina is in front of me. What do I do with those words? What does he look like? Who am I talking to? Ein loy demus haguf ve'ein loy guf. If you think of somebody with a long white beard, you're wrong, and you're it's not correct. It's apikosis. He has no guf. So what does it mean? Ki'ilu shchina kenegdoi. What does it mean? How can I once asked this kasha to Rav Matisyo, Shia Bari, in Gateshead. I once asked him, how can you daven when you don't know where the words are going to? How can you have the conversation when, who am I talking to? I don't see him. So how can I talk to him? And he told me, think of a kisei, a magnificent throne. A magnificent throne, and the words are being targeted to the throne. But even that is a bit oblique, because it doesn't help you, because so I'm just talking to a chair. It's hard. Perhaps we can go one step removed. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't talk about this, but perhaps it's like this. The Shechina means the divine presence, but I have no idea what that looks like. And to have a conversation in a vacuum is very difficult. But we move it one stage, not the Shechina, but perhaps the Boire. And once you think of that, who gave me my eyes, who gave me my family, who gave me my health, my wealth, my happiness, the Creator, like whenever we have the word Yudke Vovke, which is beyond our understanding, we don't even say the word properly. Yudke and Vovke is, and we say Adnus for it. Why do we say Adnus? We say Ado and then Noi, because that means my master, my Creator. We can't perceive of the words of the Shechina. We can't perceive of that word. But we can understand the meaning of the word, the Creator. So when we're davening, it's easier to think, even though it is obscure, nevertheless we can think of, I'm talking to who gave me my heart, my kidneys, my liver, my lung, my speech, my motion, my ability, my mobility, everything I have. It's easier like that. It's not exactly what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Kiru Shchina Kenegdoi, but it's on the way. And therefore, my Creator, which is not what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but I have problems with that. Kiru Shchina Kenegdoi, because we can't perceive him, and it's very hard to have a conversation like that. But you can with the Creator. Next, number B. In Shulchan Aruch, it says the following. V'yosir kol machshavas hatodos. So when you daven, and we're talking specifically here, not just really talking about Shemona Esrei, but any aspect of tefillah. Now listen to these words in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch. Very hard. These are mamash halachas of tefillah, of kavona. And these are the words. Ad shetishoy machshavtoi v'kavonosoi, your mind must be zako b'tefilosoi. A clear mind. A clear mind. What does it mean, clear? Let me ask a question, which maybe I might explain this. Why do I have to have a clear mind? Why can't I think when I'm davening of a shidduch for my daughter, my uncle who needs a refuah shleima, my neighbor who needs parnosa, And I put them all together in a big cholent pot. And as I'm davening, I'm thinking of this and that and the other, and going through all my Shemoneh Esrei, whether I'm saying the first brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, whether I'm saying Hallel, whether I'm saying Pesukei Dezimra, I just put it all together. And these are all my thoughts, which are just floating through my mind as I'm davening. Why can't I? Why can't I just put it all together? I'm talking to Hashem. So all these thoughts I need a parnasa, my child isn't well, and all these thoughts are flying through my mind, but apparently you can't do that. It means clear with the tefillah I'm saying. I can't do that. I can't make a chant. I have to be clear for what I'm thinking. Perhaps we can answer it in the following way. There's an expression which is used by a professional, and the expression is finger on the pulse. Let's take it in its literal meaning. I think this is what it means. I've once seen it, you've probably seen it. If you go to a hospital and the professor comes round with students behind him. I've seen it in a hospital in England a few times. So the professor comes round and the students are behind, and he comes to the patient. And he says, Mr. Cohen, how are you today? Mr. Cohen turns around and he says, well, I don't sleep very well. And my back is hurting me. And I don't have much of an appetite. So what's the first thing the professor does? He goes for the pulse. But he never said his pulse is hurting him. What's he feeling the pulse for? It's nothing to do with the pulse. He says he's not sleeping. He doesn't have an appetite. What's he feeling the pulse for? Because he's a professional. And the professional doesn't get sidetracked by other things. He knows the pulse will tell him lots of information. Finger on the pulse means that a professional does not get sidetracked. If you go to an expensive tax lawyer, he'll charge you a fortune. And you go to him and you sit there and you have 5 minutes. 10 minutes to talk to him. Cost you a lot of money. You will not sit there in front of him and ask him, and where did you go for your vacation this year? And do you have a nice restaurant where you eat? It's costing you money. He's a professional. Professionals don't get sidetracked. They're on the point. Meaning, going off the point is unprofessional. It's not really what you're doing at the moment. That's what it means, zakor bitfilosai. When you're davening, you don't daven like an amateur. A professional is, I'm now saying divrei shevach. The conversation is praise. It's nothing to do with bakosha, nothing to do with the shevach. It's got nothing to do with tshuva. It's praise. It's unprofessional. And that is, I wrote down here, like a doctor, a musician. If you're going to speak to, I don't know, let's take the last case. If you're going to speak in front of Her Majesty the Queen in England. So you'll prepare every single word you have ready to say. You have a request to make. You won't ask the Queen, what does she have for breakfast? You won't discuss with the Queen, you know, how are your children doing, and you have an apple. It's not professional. You don't waste her time. She's not there for that. When we have this appointment in the morning at Shachris, in the afternoon at Mincha, we have to be professionals. And we are talking here about a conversation with Melech Malchei Hamlochim. And therefore, Zakor B'Tfilosai means it's just a mess if one is davening and thinking of all different things. You have to be right down the line, and in some respects it's much better therefore to be faster than slower, because the mind does get distracted. But in order to keep track, it might be better to go quicker, because this is what I'm saying and this is who I'm talking to, and I need to have finger on the pulse. And that, I think, is the meaning of zakor b'tfilosai. It's just not professional. Number C in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tzadik Ches, Se'if Dalet. The halacha says as follows. Hatfila hi b'mokum kolban. As we know, Anshei Knesset HaGdola were able to provide us with a text which is Unashama, the notion in the Navi Chagi, Unashama foim sofoseinu, that instead of the bulls, we now have speech. It's a direct, it's a substitute, and it works. Says the Shulchan Aruch, since a tefillah is in place of a korban, ulekach, says the Shulchan Aruch, tzarich lizaher, one has to be very careful, shetehei dugmas hakorban bekavona, just like you need kavona with a korban. For example, if a kohen has taken your power, and he has a responsibility to offer it up for you as a korban chatas, nagid. And as he takes it and he shechts it for you, he's thinking of what he's having for lunch today. Or he's thinking of, you know, tonight my daughter's going out on a shidduch, I hope it works, and he's throwing the dam on the mizbeach, and he's doing the halacha, and mazeh, he's ruined it for you. The korban is either posel or pigul. It has, if he thinks about eating it at the wrong time, it's called pigul. Out of time, it's posel. He can ruin it for you. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. V'lo ye'erev bo machshava acheres. There shouldn't be another thought. K'moy machshava sheposeles b'kodshim. Just like with kodshim. Umad, you need to stand up. Dum yadavoida, we're talking about Shemone Esri here, standing up. Ukvias mokum, we'll talk about this later, having a fixed place like the korbanos did. Nearly every korban was shechted in the tzofen, in the north. One place for shechita. Then they, as what Zvikas Hadan, shtei kronos, ala mizbech, shehin arba, different places where they threw the blood, but everything had a fixed place, had to be eaten at a certain time, shechted at a certain place. So also the tefillah. Shekol echad kavua mekoima b'shchitoso matan domoi. Everything had a fixed place. Now, what do you do? I'd like to be able to say, what do you do if you get distracted? And that is so inaccurate. What do you do when you get distracted? Not if you get distracted. What are you supposed to do when you get... You get right out and you're not thinking of what you're saying. The first thing that you have to do, let's have a look at the Loshen here in Shulchan Aruch. The first thing you have to do when your mind goes right off in Shulchan Aruch is Yishtoik. You have to stop. You have to stop davening when the mind goes off. Until you can control the thought and be able to carry on, especially in Shemana Esrei. The Shulchan Aruch says, and think of things which maybe will make you have more concentration, give you a lower spirit. It's not easy when you have a worry in your mind and you're davening and you can't control your thoughts. But nevertheless, it says, Yishtoik. Shulchan Aruch says, stop davening. I have a suggestion. The Shulchan Aruch says on these words, we read the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah brings down to say PPP three times, to misgaber on your machshava, to rub your hand on your forehead, which might help you to remove the thoughts. Yavesh loy shapamim yad yaminoi al mitzchoi v'yoymek. All these points. There are eitzas, but the most practical, I'm not saying the most practical, but perhaps it will help. I know for myself, when you have a machshava which is troubling you so much, if one stops davening and says, not now. Not now. As you can be standing davening Shemone Esrei and you're in the middle of Musaf, Rosh Hashanah, and you're davening, you look down, and in the middle, as you're davening, Shemone Esrei, you look down and say, my goodness me, why am I wearing these shoes? I should never have been wearing these shoes. And the mind goes right off. Or you're holding the sin, you say, no, I forgot to do my nails before. You go right off. You're, and you can spend 2-3 lines, 4 minutes, and you just run. you're thinking of everything. Why am I wearing this tie in the middle of, I should have taken another. And go right off. And the mind goes somewhere else. If you panic, that doesn't help. If you just stop and don't daven anymore, you're not allowed to stop in the middle. I think the most sensible, practical answer is to tell yourself, maybe I do have to change my shoes, but not now. Tell yourself, you can't say the words, but not now. It's important, but not now. It helps. I find it helps tremendously by just telling, it is not the time to discuss this now. Now I'm davening. It works. It works for me. You have to stop. The Shulchan Aruch says yishtoik. But that silence, and telling yourself, I'll think about it now, you'll be able to get back into tefillah, especially in Shemoneh Esrei. It'll work. I hope it'll work for you. What we must answer is, why does this always happen in davening? Why is it that whenever we daven Shemoneh Esrei, we always have this buzzing bee? And it's so annoying. It doesn't happen when you're having breakfast. It doesn't happen when you're having a cup of coffee. It certainly doesn't happen when you're reading the newspaper. It never happens when you're, I don't know, doing anything else, but it always happens when you're in the middle of davening Shemoneh Esrei, especially the first bar from Shemoneh Esrei. Why? Why does it always happen? The answer is quite simply. The Avodah is so enormous in Kedusha. It has such tremendous sensitivity of Kedusha. The Yetzer Hara comes in and tries to have a field day and tries to take you away from it because the Avodah is so great. And we know always that whenever a person is struggling with high levels of Kedusha, the Koyach HaBechira comes in to cancel it out. Always. Zeh le'umat zeh. Just as an example, that's the reason why on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, when he goes lifnai v'lifnim, before he goes inside, we have to sort out the other so'il la'zozel. Why do we have a so'il la'kodesh that we can't he brings out? That goes for kodesh, and that goes to azozel. Answers that we can't he. Because I'm bringing that into the kodesh, that has to go out to sort out the machshavos achiras and the aveiros. One is allowing that to go in. Zeh le'umat zeh. Since I have such kedusha in the soil, avodas Hashem, the soil Hashem, I need that other one to carry all the aveiros. Otherwise, it won't work. Zeh le'umat zeh. It's always like that. Chayvus Alvavos brings it out. The aside of when you're working on dargas and madregas, the temptation and the enticement is so great to pull you away from it. There are no moments in the day, ever, which carry as much kedusha as the time when one says the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. That is kodesh kodashim. It is the most selective, exquisite conversation of the day. First bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is the holiest of all moments that needs all kavana. So at that time it comes in and it tries to disturb you and pull you away from that. That's the reason. Once, maybe perhaps it helps to know what is that buzzing bee doing there then. Why doesn't it come to me at another time? Why don't I think about my shoes or my nails or my tie at another point? Because that's not moments of great kedusha. That is the reason why on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur we find it so hard to daven with kavana, because the moments are so precious. They carry tremendous segula, and schusim, the Yetzer Hara, comes in and tries to pull us away from that. I gave an example here. Maybe it's unfair to women to bring this down, but we'll bring women in, but it really applies to men just as much as it applies to women. An example, a moshul. You're davening in shul nagid on Rosh Hashanah. And you arrive there early in the morning, and you get there 7 o'clock in the morning when davening begins. At 9 o'clock, your neighbor walks in. You've been there for 2 hours, and your neighbor walks in 2 hours later. So you turn around and you say, "Man, it's disgusting. Not like me. I've been here since 7 o'clock. To walk in 2 hours late, it's mamash. Doesn't she realize it's Rosh Hashanah?" Or another thought which goes through the mind. You're in the middle of davening Musaf Shemoneh Esrei, or any Shemoneh Esrei, any Shemoneh Esrei at any time, and you're trying hard to daven Shemoneh Esrei. And you look up, and the neighbor next to you has already finished sitting down. So you turn around and you say, you know, they must have missed out half of davening. It's not possible to daven as fast as that. And you give, you know, a label. That lady does not daven properly. It's not possible to daven so fast. These are thoughts. Don't say it doesn't happen, it certainly happens. These thoughts that fly through the mind, and you label people. I don't know, someone comes in and not dressed appropriately for shul. So how can you daven? How can you come into shul? And all these thoughts fly through the mind. Why do these thoughts, why do they come like that? Because the time has such kedusha for it, we are tempted, because of a yetzer hara, to be drawn away to label somebody, to call somebody names. We are tempted because of a yetzer hara that is inside us, and it pulls us away from the really correct thoughts. The time is so exquisite, it's so perfect in kedusha. We are human beings, and that is the great temptation, to pull us away from the avoda that we're involved in. How am I helping you? I'm only helping you perhaps to giving the label of why this happens. What is it all about? Why do we have such difficulties in concentrating? It's simply because the avoda is so kodesh. It's so immense in its potential of making a connection with our kodesh bowl. Number D. Have a look at this in Shulchan Aruch. Simon Tzadik Gimel, Tzadik Ches, Seif Gimel. Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Yispalel Derech Tachanunim. When one davens, one should daven in a way of supplicating, of humility. Kerosh, like a poor man, Hamavakish Bapetach. Like a poor man comes to, excuse me, I'm sorry to trouble you, but could you help me? Could you give me some money? That's how you're supposed to daven Shemoneh Esrei. Like a kerosh, a poor man, Ha'oimid Bapesach. Ubenachas, excuse me, please, could you help me? I need help. Shalot tire alav. Let's stop there. What is this humble heart? What's behind this humility which is necessary? Maybe we can add a little bit. We can add another halacha in this on this. In Siman Tzadik Gimel, Seif Aleph. This is all behind the theme of humility when one comes to daven. We mentioned it already. Yishoy shah achas kodim sheyokum nispalel. A person should wait a little while before you daven, kedei sheyachaven nivo lamokim. Shah achas b'tfilah. It doesn't mean Mishnah Berurah brings down. It doesn't necessarily mean an hour. It means a few minutes to settle the mind so that you realize who you're talking to. The delay, you need a delay from working on the computer, from talking to a friend, to davening mincha. You need a certain time period of Yishuv Hadas in order to realize who am I talking to, create the Hachnor. Let's take another halacha which is behind this. Lo yamoid lispalel, halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tzadik Gimel, halacha beis. Lo yamoid lispalel ela be'eino, v'hachnor. When you come to daven, you have to daven in a mood, in a demeanor of aima, of fear, of hachnor. Lo mitoich sroik, not out of laughter, the kalus roish, or carelessness, udvoim betelim. Lo mitoich kas, and nor when you've just had an argument or you've had a fight with somebody. Ela mitoich simcha. When you come to daven, you should have a feeling of simcha, kegoin divrei tanchumim shel Torah. It's an approach, it's a hachnor, you need that. Why? Why do you need that? Because we are not made like computers. You can't switch the screen in 2 seconds, in 1 second, and to go from one A to B to C to D, E. It doesn't work like that. We are made as human beings with lingering thoughts. And every time something happens, if it's a good joke or a conversation which is humorous, or it's an argument, or it's something which upsets you, it affects you for a few minutes afterwards, or however long afterwards. And that's the reason why, to create this atmosphere of hachnor, you have to be careful of lingering thoughts which you're carrying before you come to daven. And that's a major stumble, a major problem when it comes to davening. That feeling of hachnor has to be generated before you come to daven. Meaning, prepare yourself a little bit. You can't just read the paper and say, Asher Yeshvei Veisecha. You need time. Mishnah Berurah being stand doesn't necessarily mean an hour, but you need time to remove so that you are zaka b'tfilosa, that the mind is clear. In particular, from a conversation which you just had, even though you might say it might help you with your tefillah, but now zaka b'tfilosa, it's not professional. If you're thinking of a shidduch and you're going to daven for the shidduch, but if you're saying Ashrei, it's not relevant to think about the shidduch when you're saying Ashrei. The first bracha of Shemoneh has nothing to do with shidduchim. Or if it's parnos, it's nothing to do with that. So you have to be exacto to be professional to say what you're saying at the moment. And that achnor is not easy. And the only way it's attained by preparation beforehand in order to be able to come in that mood of achnor, which you need to prepare yourself. Why? I wrote down in the notes, because sofer shel dovar, it's, you are crediting him. You're crediting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you're talking to him, like we mentioned at the beginning, the mood in the mind. The mood in the mind is a mood of, it's all you, Hashem. It's not me. I'm asking you, I'm praising you, I'm thanking you. And that Hachno is the whole demeanor of the words which you're going to say. It's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, and that's what it means when we say here, Derech Tachanun Kurosh Ka'emid Bapesach. Is there a Sefer Tehillim? Can I just have a Sefer Tehillim? Let me give you an example, and we'll finish with this, but I just want to give you an idea of what does it mean accrediting HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not accrediting ourselves, this humble heart. Have a look at this Peruk in Tehillim. Kuf Lamed Aleph. The Master Tfilah of all. There was no one as great, perhaps, I don't know if I can say such a thing, but one of the greatest people in Tfilah was David HaMelech. He's called the Regel Revi on the Merkava. In other words, the Shechina is held by four great people in Klal Yisrael. Avraham because of the Midah of Chesed, Yitzchak because of the Midah of Yirah, Yaakov because of the Midah of Emes, and David is the Regel Revi of the Merkava, like the footstool of the Shechina Ba'olam Hazeh, because of his Shiras V'Sishbochis. David was the one who really is the main instigator of Tefillah and Yachas Ben Adam Lamokai. You want an example of what does it mean, Hachno, before one comes to daven? A Peruk in Tehillim, but it's worth it a few minutes just to look and see how it works. Mizma Shir HaMalas to David, Hashem Lo Gova Libi. I never ever thought of myself with pride. Say Chazal, that's referring to the time when David HaMelech was anointed as a child to become the king. I never, for the rest of my life, never ever thought of myself. Can you imagine a young boy as anointed? I never thought anything of myself. V'lo romu einai, I never lifted my eyes up with prestige. Say Chazal, that was when he went off and killed Goliath, when all of Klal Yisrael was singing, David is killed Goliath, and he was very famous. I never thought anything of myself. V'lo hilachti b'gdoilos, I never walked around like I was the great valiant general. Chazal explained that refers to the time when he came back to Yerushalayim after Avshalom was killed, which was nothing else, was the greatest vindication of who Avshalom was and who David was. He left crying, but he came back to Yerushalayim with tremendous, like, everybody, here's the real king. David came back. Ubeniflois mimeni, say Chazal, I never thought I was anything wonderful when he carried the ark, the Oren, and walked it to Yerushalayim with great, great celebration, Chagigah. I never ever, he said, never did I ever think I was anything special. You know what I thought I was like? Imloi shivisi v'doimamti nafshi. I only ever equated myself, ever, Kagomu, like a nursing child, Alei Imoi, sitting in front of his mother. Kagomu, Olai Nafshi. An unbelievable expression here. I was always like a nursing child can't even lift his head up by himself, can't do anything, said David. I was like a child in front of a mother. I couldn't do anything. This man who had tremendous valor, who was the most famous, never lost a battle in his life. Never lost a battle. He was phenomenally successful in every aspect. from being a child as a young a king as a young person, Goliath, imagine killing Goliath and coming back to Yerushalayim. Never. I was always kagomol alei imoy. I was always like, I can't do anything without Hashem helping me. Yachel Yisrael Hashem me'ato ve'adoilom. That's an expression of humility. That's David HaMelech really at his prime that we see here. We'll talk about this in Mitzvah Hashem next week and go into more detail. But this whole atmosphere, demeanor of finding a mood of hachnor. Let's just end with the words of the Shulchan Aruch again. Kurosh, like a poor man, ha'omed b'Pesach. Please, excuse me, can you help me? This anova, which is the whole aspect of kavana. I'm sorry I've gone over my time. Mitzvah Hashem will go into it more detail next week. We'll keep it at this time then. Yes, we won't change the day. No, we'll keep it at Motzi Shabbos next week. And we'll carry on. Please bring these sheets next week and we'll carry on.